Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
a very wise man once said,
anytime someone tells you Ringo can't play drums,
punch him in the face,
and then play them.
Tell me why.
Hey, we've been talking about the Beatles all this week.
Yeah, we have.
I think, by the way, you can probably look this up. I think this is true, that we may be the first podcast to ever talk about the Beatles.
I think it might be true.
Probably.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Probably the first one to do a countdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Countdown. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
The best Beatles songs.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to tell all your friends about this. This is really right. Something special. All right. The show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Brad Mailer.
And thanks for joining us all this week, Brad.
Thanks for having
me. You have been a delight.
Absolutely, as always.
Yes.
Aw, thanks.
Patrick, I think, or you and Brad, or maybe you kind of came up with this idea of doing a countdown week.
Yeah.
Based on recommendations from our listeners. And mm-hmm. we kind of put this out to sort of a select group of listeners, some of the super listeners that we have. And we asked them to talk about their favorite Beatles songs or give us their own lists. And then we kind of compile that into one master list. And that's what we've been counting down all this week.
That's right.
15. It's a top 15 that we did. 3 songs each day.
Yep.
And this is it. We're down to the top 3.
We are down to the top 3. As I mentioned earlier, 77 songs were mentioned by everybody. So it was quite a widespread. But these are the ones that got enough votes to propel them into the top 3 of this top 15.
Okay. And I'm very excited about number 3.
Okay.
So let's play it and then have a lengthy discussion about it. Paperback Writer.
Yeah.
A Paul song.
Pretty
sweet.
Decent, yes. Paul song.
I love the way it just explodes.
Yeah,
That song is just bigger than life, you know? Mm-hmm. It just comes at you.
That riff is so hot.
Oh, yeah, it really is.
It's so good.
Everything about it. And I just now was reading that apparently this and the B-side, this was a single, the B-side was Rain.
Uh-huh.
And both of these apparently were recorded at the highest level to that point of any Beatles song because they got some new equipment
like
that in the studio, so they were actually, you know, really be able to make
maxing
this
it out
a loud song and it so comes through. I mean,
yeah,
it's sort of, you know, it's essentially, you know, kind of power pop,
right,
in the way that the Beatles, you know, the Beatles essentially established that,
or, yeah,
you know, and the guitar riff you mentioned is awesome. I love the I'm a sucker for like songs that kind of stop and start again.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Everything about this song is really just perfect. And lyrically, it's so smart.
It is. It's so sly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so clever and, you know, just dotted with all these references that are just so funny and also insightful. It's really amazing. It's a perfect tune. And The late, great Tommy Keane,
right,
chose this as his perfect pop song
on our show.
We talked to him on our show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it a little bit then, too, about how the song is really sort of about the creative process and maybe being not recognized because of the form that you work in for how great you really are, you know, and it's, so it speaks to what the Beatles, I think, were going through at this time. And
yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah.
It's a tremendous song. And so, and let's quickly address the Paul factor here, right? So when I mentioned we put together this top 15 list based on suggestions from listeners, mm-hmm. and you know, what got the most votes is how this, you know, was what won, you know, so, you know, we made some tie-breaking calls, but essentially that, and it just turned out to be a very John heavy list at the end of the day. I think the listeners, for whatever reason, really kind of gravitated toward his work. And it's also, I would say, very, to a large extent, middle period Beatles.
Yeah.
Also is
which
the other thing
really
too.
Probably was the, you know, the main gravitation thing. Yeah.
And so I hate that, you know, it's just disappointing in some ways that's how it worked out, because Paul wrote a lot of great songs, and there were a lot of songs on my list as I was compiling it that were great mm-hmm. Paul songs. So here we should recognize the genius of Paul McCartney.
Absolutely.
Anything you want to say there about Paul? I mean, I think, first of all, I want to say between Lennon and McCartney, I think Paul McCartney is the better singer, the better vocalist.
Yeah, he's a better singer and he's a better musician, like all around too. Like he can play it all.
He can play any instrument and play it well. And I think that really helped them a lot in the studio. You know,
but as far as singing goes, like he could do, they do double tracking all the time. It's kind of their signature sound.
Yeah.
And like he could do double tracking to the point where you could barely tell the difference between the first take and the second take or whatever. Whereas John absolutely was not very good at it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a big deal.
I think Paul could sing any style and do it like convincingly. It didn't ever sound,
I heard,
you know,
somewhere
fake
that
in any way.
He could hit every single note on a 88 key keyboard.
Is that right?
I don't know if that's true.
Wow, that's incredible.
I don't know.
I heard something like that.
Wow, that's amazing.
He also had, I think, to a large extent, this is splitting hairs here, maybe give him just a slight advantage here, but I think he had the greater ear for melody than John. I mean, some of his songs, like you take a song like Here, There, and Everywhere, and like who writes a melody like that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just incredible. So let's give Paul some props here, and maybe we can come back a little bit later and do some Paul McCartney specific episodes.
Yeah, for
maybe,
sure.
You know, his Beatles work and his solo work or something like that.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of his solo work. I think a lot of it's
really
underrated, you know, and it really is. There's a lot of gems.
Yeah,
if you
no doubt.
Look in his solo catalog, there really are. And he put out a ton of records. Yeah. And he had another band after the Beatles.
He did. And I think too, you know, he like, and we mentioned earlier in the week, he's still out there performing and still selling out
kind of
arenas.
Incredible.
And although I've never seen him live, have you ever seen him live?
No, I've never seen him.
I mean, all reports are that he still does like a legitimately great show,
yeah.
You know, and has complete command of the audience in the room. And
yeah, it just seems to come so easy to him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't mean to give Paul the short shrift here, just kind of the way the votes worked out. And, you know, we like to maintain integrity in the voting process.
Yeah, that's right.
But interestingly, on these top three in this last episode of the week, we have three different Beatles songwriters.
Yeah. So it worked out.
So it did work out kind of great. It just
kinda
worked
harmony.
Out that way.
Yep.
So you had a Paul song with Paperback Writer, and now we have a George song.
Told you. told you they bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's turning.
Coming in at number two, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah. This is the most surprising of the whole list to me. I didn't...
It was completely to me, too. Mm-hmm. But many, many people picked this song as one of their favorite Beatles songs.
Really did.
Why was it surprising to you?
I don't know. It just seems to me, out of all the Beatles songs that... I don't know. To me, there's nothing particularly outstandingly memorable about it. And I was just looking in the book, and Eric Clapton apparently plays guitar on this, which I don't even really know if I knew that. But
so it's the most like sort of lead guitar-y kind of
song.
Yeah,
that's very true.
Uh-huh. Which, you know, as the Clapton coming in and written by George, who was the, you know, lead guitar player for most
in
of the
Clapton's
Beatles tracks.
Backyard, I think.
Right. Oh, is that right? Wow. So I never knew that either.
You know, and guitar is in the title of the song.
Yeah.
So you kind of expect that.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely a good song.
It is.
And
oh,
you know, over the years,
like
Harrison is definitely, you know, progressing. And this is one of those ones that shows progression from earlier stuff.
Absolutely.
It was maybe sort of his coming out party to some extent.
Yeah,
I mean, he had
right.
some other songs like Taxman and, mm-hmm. and
yeah,
stuff Taxman like that.
Is great.
But yeah, this was kind of a big one for him mm-hmm. that what people really latched onto.
Yeah. And just to follow up on what Ian McDonald wrote in here, he puts forth a theory that another thing the Beatles invented, and it was with this song that they kind of invented the overblown 70s stadium rock guitar hero with this song. They kind of created it inadvertently, of course, like so many other things they created. But he's like, this is the sound that would dominate the 70s of
good
like
point.
Wailing
it
in
it
the
really
arena.
Is. Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sort of, yeah, this song, very different from... We talked about, very different from, say, Paperback Writer. Paperback Writer is a pop song.
Absolutely.
It's like a 3-minute pop song, you know, that it's not even that. It's 2:18.
Yeah.
You know, it is a very, very tight song. It has great guitar part in it, but it's like very calculated, right? Like, this is how the song is going to be, and do not deviate from this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
is the star, as opposed to the person playing. Play.
There you
right.
go.
Exactly.
There you go.
That's exactly right. Whereas While My Guitar Gently Weeps, that's like a jam, mm-hmm.
it
you know,
is.
And you can...
I mean, it's
you,
not as bad as the Grateful Dead or anything,
no,
but...
but it is the kind of song that played live could go on for 20 minutes
absolutely.
If you wanted it to, right? You can mm-hmm. extend that song as long as you want it to be.
Yeah.
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 And that's, yeah, and Clapton's kind of the perfect person to put on the guitar to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
I also think you made this comment before we started recording, Brad, that maybe this speaks to a lot of our listeners too, because a lot of them are in bands or musicians themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I think it speaks to that sort of an audience too, or guitar players, right?
Well,
guitar players
exactly.
love this song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And can relate to it, you know?
I want to say one other thing about George Harrison. So I'm pretty sure I'm getting this right, but if people want to dispute it, that's fine. You can correct me. But there was an interesting test of popular Beatles songs that occurred sort of not necessarily meant for this purpose, but it occurred when the Beatles released their songs for the first time on iTunes. Remember before streaming?
I remember.
When you bought MP3s off of iTunes,
yeah.
right? And they were one of the last, you know, they were one of the big holdouts on that. And when it finally came out, that was the first time that essentially all the Beatles songs were available at the same time, and songs could be purchased individually. Mm-hmm. So it gave you sort of a sense of what truly are the most popular songs, right? And for some short period of time there, like the initial release, I don't know if it was like a week or two or a month, but I'm talking like right after it came out, somebody, you know, went in and looked and to see what truly are the most popular Beatles songs.
Uh-huh.
And this would have been about 10 years ago or so. And the number one most downloaded song in that period of time was Here Comes the Sun.
Is that right?
And I thought that
it's a great song.
It's a great song. Oh, and yeah. I thought that was so interesting that a George song
would be
was
number
the
one.
Most popular. Mm-hmm. Of all that Lennon-McCartney catalog,
yeah,
the George song is the one that emerges. So he's, I mean, give George some props here too in this episode, right?
I mean, it's been said many times, he's an unbelievably great songwriter who happened to be in a band with two of the greatest songwriters of all time. You know, I mean, what are the odds that something like that
really
would happen?
Are the odds?
Yeah. And certainly the sentiment of this song, you sort of got the sense, at least, you know, where when it came down to Lennon and McCartney being at each other's throats and the business deals that all kind of went bad, that, you know, and Ringo was just not going to get involved in anything, but it was really George that was the one you felt like maybe was trying to make the peace in some way or another. And he just sat there with his guitar crying, you know, why this whole thing fell apart, you know,
right.
But you could kind of see that just, you know, well, they're going to fight, so I'm just going to go sit over here in Clapton's backyard and play my guitar, something like that. So,
well, and we don't want to get into this now, but the whole Clapton George Harrison relationship is
strange.
A really weird one.
Yeah.
You know,
strange.
That's for another time. By the way, I will mention though, and I have it upstairs in the kitchen here. I finally brought for you a Eric Clapton biography that I've been meaning to give to you.
I can't wait.
So
okay,
that
great.
Can be part of an upcoming book nook. Maybe.
Excellent. That'd be great.
See, you know, Clapton's perspective on all this.
Oh, that'd be good.
So we're at number one.
Yes, we are.
The number one Beatles song, according to Rock in the Suburbs panel of experts,
That's right?
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to save this for a playout. Let's just go ahead and hear a little bit of it right now. Song is Rain.
That is Rain.
Did this surprise you coming in at number one?
Yeah, it did a little
bit.
And mainly because it was my number one.
Pleasantly surprised.
I was pleasantly surprised by this. Yeah, this was my
pick. I would say this is my number two.
Is that right?
Yeah. Right behind Strawberry Field.
The man sitting to my right, once again, is the one who turned me on to this song. I never knew this was a Beatles song until I started.
It's such a great song.
Yeah.
Like, I was first introduced to this song when I was in high school. I was in a band, and this guy Mark Tyson, who was the guitar player in my band, like, just brought it in one day. He's like, you don't know Rain? Yeah. Oh my god, check it out.
Yeah,
so we played the song, you know, it was like in our repertoire or whatever,
right?
And I've loved it ever since. It's such a great song.
I think about half of the people who contributed to this panel had Rain
in their
top 10, right?
Yep.
But it was by far and away the winner. So interesting to me because, again, you know, this is a deep cut. This is not a song
that a very deep cut.
The average person knows even today.
It's the B-side of Paperback Writer.
It was the B-side of Paperback Writer, which is interesting. Very kind of different, really.
Yeah.
So recorded during the Revolver sessions, but not part of Revolver. Although in my mind, I think of Rain very similar to me as She Said, She Said. Uh-huh. Like, I think of those songs to me are like companion pieces, mm-hmm. just, I think, mm-hmm. just sonically.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
I
love those harmonies.
Oh, like, my goodness. I know. And I, even right now listening to it, the hair on my arm stands up when the bass part in the chorus,
bass part.
Where he's, it's just unbelievable. Yeah.
That bass part, you could just isolate that and listen to that, and it's enjoyable. Yeah.
What the bass and the drums do together is so sly and so creative, and it hardly ever seems to be the same thing except for when they all come together on the chorus. It's really kind of amazing.
That's a good point, but it's not like your typical, like, in the pocket rhythm section kind of thing.
No, it's very different.
But they're definitely working together. Yeah.
Yeah. They seem so assured of where the other one's going to be when they're playing. It's just kind of amazing to listen to it ping pong and rubber. It's like a Super Bowl at times, just bouncing all around. It's pretty incredible. Yeah. And it just shimmers, like, almost to the point of being tactile. The song shimmers so much, and you know, this, it's just incredible.
And this one, it has some of those advanced studio techniques or experimental studio techniques too. Not to the extent of Tomorrow Never Knows, but you feel like you're getting there. You're working up toward that.
I think this is probably the first use of backwards for them.
Yeah,
but I may be wrong about that.
But different from Paperback Writer, which has, like I mentioned, the stop and start kind of thing, this has kind of like slow down, speed up kind of dynamics to it, which is also a really interesting thing.
I mean, I think that our listeners obviously like to play the guitar while they're on acid. That's pretty much what you listen
to. Don't we all?
Don't we all? We've all been there.
Well, I think, too, I think, Patrick, you and I talked about this earlier today, that you've heard so many Beatles songs. So the classic songs, like, you take they did release an album at some point called The Beatles One, which was like all their number one hit songs. I don't know, 20, 25 songs, whatever it was. And it came out as a CD. We've all heard those songs so many times. They're fantastic. I mean, I certainly, you know, put that on anytime you want. Yeah. I'll listen to it. But when you've heard those so many times, then you start to, like, really gravitate toward what's the next level down.
Exactly right.
And then over a course of time, so for us it's been the last 20 to 30 years that we've really been big Beatles fans, but for some people it could be 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, your favorites start to emerge out of that next list, I think. Like,
I
those feel like more personal songs to you. Like, this is my, so a song like Rain, it's really interesting. So many people are just like so into this song. It's almost like everybody kind of discovered it at some point.
That's right.
And it's just risen, right?
Yeah, it certainly has. And just it's I think the band at the absolute height of their powers, and, you know, when they were working together, it just seemed like this one is right in that time period where it's just a slice of, you know, they were peering so far into an abyss where no one had ever been before. And, you know,
1966.
Yeah, they weren't really looking back. So 52 years ago. That's right.
Great choice.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks to everyone who participated. You know, I know there have been some calls out there already for you and I to put our lists on the group. Okay.
We'll put our own personal list, not only in the group, but I think we'll put that in the show notes too, so people can see how what we liked. Yes. And not all of our choices made this top 15.
Oh, no. I only had three out of my 10 that made it. Yep.
I didn't actually look. I was going to say I'm probably...
Rain... made it, She Said, and Paperback Writer. Those are the only three on my top 10.
Actually, I think so the ones I picked in my top 10 that made this top 15 were And Your Bird Can Sing, Nowhere Man, Revolution, She Said. So four.
Okay.
Only four
so
of my 10 made this too. So this is a very democratic list, wouldn't you say?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm going to get Brad to send me, before we started, he showed us his note page with a lot of songs on it, where you kind of went through chronologically, right, Brad, and just picked out some from eras.
Yeah. I didn't actually get to number them. So
too
I just
hard.
Sort of started picking out some songs from each, you know, I just went through.
But where I want to go with this is, I think if people like this, like this sort of countdown week, I like the idea that it's not just you and I doing this, that
Absolutely.
We're including listeners in putting these lists together. So we can do this with other bands.
It would be fun.
Be fun to do.
If you guys like it.
If you guys like it, want to do it.
That's one of the things we wanted to test out, you know.
And we're looking at some ways that we can maybe work with this sort of closed fan club group, as we call it.
Yeah.
And maybe make that something... a little more exciting for people. So we'll have some details on that coming up.
first week of December next year, we'll do the same thing and see if we get different results or if we have more people in the group, right?
Before we go, though, are there any songs from your personal list that you want to give a shout out to that you think maybe were unfairly ignored?
Unfairly ignored. Well, I'll say maybe not unfairly, but maybe I'm a little surprised.
Yeah.
Come Together is one that I really love that didn't make it. I'm a huge fan of the medley that's on Abbey Road.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Sun King and Me and Mr. Mustard came in through the bathroom window and all that stuff. And that's a great balance between, you know, a lot of the songwriters in the band and probably my, you know, the one that to me is always like I super loved. It's another one that Brad turned me on to is Dr. Robert. It's kind of
a good one.
A hidden Beatles song, but it's always up there for me.
I'm just going to mention a couple real quickly. One that we mentioned For No One. I love that song, For No One, that I think is just unbelievable.
Three cheers for that.
Yep. And more people need to get on board with that. But probably if I were going to say the next, let's just say, I'm going to give you two more that I would have gone with if given the chance. Did you mention I'm Looking Through You? I don't know. Maybe it's just my bias. I just think of this as one of the just great Beatles songs is I Feel Fine.
Yeah.
I love that song so
much.
That's
amazing, Tim.
Baby's good to me. You know she's happy as can be. You know she said so.
What a great riff, you know, it's just everything about that is perfect. So, okay, you can.
Yep. And I was just going to say really quick, Brad, were there any kind of that you wanted to shout? I mean, I know the one you mentioned was If I Fell, right? Mm. It's kind of an early one.
Yeah, it's a really early one. I don't know, you know, I wouldn't necessarily even put it in my top 15 or whatever, but
if I fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand? 'Cause I've been in love before and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I give my heart to you, I must be sure from the very start that you would love me more than her. If I trust,
I do love it. So it's got the greatest harmonies, and it's one of those ones that people should go listen to.
Maybe you'll have to listen
every day
to find out. But tell us what we left off. Tell us what didn't make the list you think was unfairly ignored. You can do that by calling. We'd love to hear your voice.
612-440-1984.
Or email rock@suburbspod.com. Or Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at suburbspod. Do that, peoples. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. We need a few more ratings to get up to 100.
Yeah.
Something big is going to happen then. I don't know what.
I don't know
but
either.
I can feel it.
Yeah.
It's an explosion.
An explosion of some type.
Something in the air.
Be like Y2K.
And also tell your friends about the show.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to bet that.
At a holiday.
Yeah. I'm going to bet that you know someone else who likes the Beatles.
I bet.
And would probably like to listen to this scintillating conversation about the Beatles. As I said, it's never been done before. So
get them started there. This is groundbreaking, just like the Beatles work. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Brad Naylor.
Thanks again, Brad.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you guys later.
I can't.
Ask him that question again later when he drops some acid.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Right.